back, everybody. Welcome to Parenting Unplugged. This is Elisa.
And here's Monica.
And for these next couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about the newborn trenches, which we have been talking about for quite some time now. But I feel like now we're really going to take a deep dive into what we're calling like a three-part survival guide. So I mean, it's literally we're surviving. You know, that's really what you're in. You're just like trying to survive these early days. And in this first episode, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on what we call the fourth trimester. So it's the first couple of weeks. What happens when you first get home with the baby?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Like we've been talking about these newborn trenches for a while. Like Elisa said, and we're finally going to put some episodes together just to kind of go through what those first few days, weeks look like. And definitely kind of go through, obviously, like the physical point of view, because, you know, as a mom, you've just gone through labor and you've just gone through like birthing your baby. But we also wanted to dedicate some space for the emotional point of view, which is also, I think, maybe even a bigger aspect of becoming a mother. There's, you know, there's the emotional part of you of becoming a mum is really important to talk about our experiences, what that looks like, and what to do about it as well. Because, you know, as a first-time mum, or even if you've had like multiple children, but maybe you've had different experiences every time, you know, like we are a community. Mothers are a community on its own. So we have to, you know, stand by one another and just help us through this period of time as well.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we're dealing with these like huge physical changes. So like going back to like the physical, I mean, we go through a lot when we're pregnant. So we go from not being pregnant to like our bodies expanding. In many ways that we have maybe never seen it before, or in a very different way from your first pregnancy. So like we go through these like huge physical changes, and I feel like as women, like what we look like physically is like a huge part of who we are most of the time, you know. So a lot of the time we're so concerned with how we look that it affects how we feel. So that is also like such a deep part of it as well. And that is something that I know personally I went through. Like, obviously, you know, I knew what I looked like before I was pregnant. But once I came home with the baby, you start thinking about like, oh, wow, okay, who was I before, you know, before I had a baby? What did I look like? I looked so different. So processing all of those emotions is so deep, and it's such a hard time to go through, especially when you're like navigating life with a newborn baby at home.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, I think all mums can sort of relate to this. Your body is just not how it was before pregnancy, before having a baby. And that is a whole adaptation by itself. You have to adapt to your new body. You have to learn to love and appreciate it, because as women, we do beat ourselves up about appearances, about how we look, about the physical aspect, because that's what's been ingrained in us in society for forever, you know. But, you know, I feel like we are slowly evolving to appreciate who we are from the inside, and to also to realize that you've just given life, you know, you have to give yourself grace, and you have to try not to realize that it's not all about the appearances. It's about what's inside as well, and also the space you're providing for your baby, all of the emotional support, the physical support you need to give that as well.
Yeah, and I think like a really good way to look at it is, and obviously it's hard to look at it this way, but you know, the physical changes, the, for example, like the scars, the stretch marks, all of these things that you're seeing once the baby comes, or that you started noticing while you were pregnant, Like these are all marks of love, right? Like these are, it's marks of when you were pregnant with your sweet child, you know? So, you know, they may be there for a long time. I feel like it's something that's like related to genetics. There's things that you can use, oils and creams and things, but certain things are just going to be there. And it's pretty obvious that it's like something that your body went through like a huge shift, you know? So it's kind of hard to go back from that, you know, your body adjusted in different ways than it hadn't before. So, you know, I think it's, you know, during this time is a good time to kind of like sit and, you know, come to terms with it and see and embrace it. Like you were saying, Mark, for sure, it's a time to embrace the change. And, you know, Monica, as far as like sleep deprivation and all of that, I think that we can like definitely dive right into like the ugly, because there's a lot of really difficult times.
Oh my God, this is like the hardest time about I don't think you realize how much you need sleep until you've had a newborn. I don't think you realize how, I mean, I've always been a bad sleeper. I've always been like a night owl. I've been awful. Like, I've never been able to sleep early. It just takes so long for my mind to shut off. And but when I had Noah, I realized just how important sleep was, because it's not until like you don't have something, like they say, then you realize the importance of it. And sleep is it's like the biggest thing that affects you, I feel like.
You can't
And it
function
doesn't
without
e it, yeah, and it doesn't even just like end with the mum either. I mean, obviously depending on your situation, but when you and your partner, you know, are working as a team, the sleep deprivation between the both of you is real, and the anxiety and the apprehension of, like, you know, making sure your baby's okay and making sure they have everything they need. And yeah, so you that's like kind of like why they call it survival mode, because without sleep, your body is put into survival mode,
You're just
you
kind of
know?
cloud. I mean, I feel it was like the first month postpartum. Like the first week, everything was kind of okay because for some reason, the baby still hadn't, and I don't know if this kind of happened for you, but like Kami didn't like fully wake up out of like a newborn, tiny newborn until like maybe a couple of days, like a week postpartum. The first week, she was kind of sleeping. She was kind of sleeping a bit, but then I was like, "This can't be it. There's no way that she's."
You got it good.
Yeah.
Noah woke up the second he came
Oh,
out of
really?
the
Okay. Yeah. For me, she was kind of sleeping like longer stretches, but like it took like a week. Once that week settled in, girl, it was over. It was over for everything. We did not sleep, and like you said, like it's the ultimate test for you, for your relationship, for your home, for everything around you, because like without sleep, you feel like you can't function. You're just like in a cloud and you're just purely in survival mode. So like I
Like,
think
how did you cope with that? Like, what was you like what was yours and Demo's like strategy like during those times?
we took turn taking naps when we could. Like whenever I was done feeding Kami, I was breastfeeding. So sort of if I was done feeding her, he would like I would pass Kami to her. He would burp her, and I like during that time I would take like a quick 20-minute nap because as we know, newborns are like feeding like nonstop on the clock. So you know it's not like you have long stretches to sleep if you're trying to breastfeed. So you're also trying to like feed the baby directly from your body, so don't have that much time. But you know, but yeah, I think like you know, take the time to take those like little mini power naps because I think those do help. So even if it's like here and there, taking advantage of that, and then hopefully you're able to have some kind of help in the house where we spoke about this in like the previous episodes. So like having some sort of village around you, whether it's like someone like a family member or or like a lactation consultant that comes over to help you with the latch, like all of these things, you know, all of these like different people that can come around and help you will help you feel better and will ultimately give you at least that peace of mind as well for these early days where you're like sleep deprived. So,
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, was there anything that you did, Monica, to help these
You
days?
know what? I would have loved to, you know, take those kind of 15, 20 minute power naps. And it's definitely something that my husband can do. Like if he has like 10, 15 minutes, he can just like literally shut his eyes and go to sleep. And I wish I had that superpower, but I don't. And I realized that, especially when I had Noah, because in those in-between periods, like you said, like when I had like a breastfeeding break, and I had like maybe 20 minutes here, by the time my mind shut off from what I've just been doing, I needed to be on again, you know, like with the feeding. And I definitely realized during that period of time, it's just, I'm just not the sort of person who can just be like, okay, you've got like a 15 minute window sleep. That's just not how my body functions. And I think that's probably why I've had such a hard time sleeping in general in my life as well, because I can't just kind of switch off, you know. And I know a lot of people can, and that's amazing. But something that really helped me during that time is that instead of having regular black tea with milk, which I love, I'm a very big tea drinker. I did try and switch to herbal teas or even maybe green tea, maybe decaffeinated green tea with a bit of honey, or I would say chamomile, but I'm not a huge fan of the chamomile taste. But I just tried different kind of herbal teas,
Yeah,
and
less
what really
caffeine.
helped, less caffeine, like the decaffeinated herbal teas. And what really helped is instead of going like back and forth to the kitchen, to the bedroom, because let's face it, as a new mum, you are basically in the bedroom for a few weeks. Like you can't move because you know you're just breastfeeding and whatever on the go. What really helped is that I had like a flask, like you know, like a tumbler flask that you can hold like hot tea or coffee or something like that. And I actually just filled it with hot water because it would last all night.
Oh,
And then when I had those breaks, I could literally just open it,
yeah.
pour it, and then I would just have my tea, right? And I would just like kind of keep one or two cups in the bedroom
Yeah.
and my teas. Because I think as a new mum, you have to do things that are quick and convenient, right? So when you do get that break, you can have that quick herbal tea, or have your snack drawer ready, or have that water
Exactly.
prepared, right? And just get like an extra large bottle of water.
And I think that would go back to, like, for example, like the prep that you do before you have a baby as well. So, we can, we touched on this before, but like preparing the room in ways that's going to be like efficient for you. So having things handy close to you that are going to be like helpful. Like for you, it was like that, that water that you were able to have like your hot tea on hand at any moment. Having like essentials by your bed, like a basket or like a rolly cart with all of the things that your little snacks or anything that you need for you and for baby as well. So you don't have to keep walking back and forth because you're literally just like, you have the baby on you 24/7. So, if you can somehow like plan all of these things ahead of time, then once the baby comes, yes, you might not be sleeping, but at least you feel a little bit more at ease and you have a little bit more peace of mind because things are in place. So,
And I think as well, like to piggyback off that, Lisa, just quickly, when you were saying like having things in place, and I know we have a similar mindset in a lot of these ways, but it's also like a control thing as well. So it's like if you know that your kind of cart is full of like snacks for you to like keep you going for your like breastfeeding journey, or just to keep you going in general, if you have certain things prepared, then you have even a tiny element of control in this period of time where you don't have any control.
Yes, that's good.
Right?
Good one. Yeah, that is what helps you feel in control. And we love
Exactly.
control, right? But obviously,
Oh, yes.
during this time, you just can't control what's happening because the baby will
No.
fall asleep, wake up whenever he or she feels like it. And completely unpredictable. Like what's happening is that like the baby, their circadian rhythm is off. So still, like they can understand what daylight is and what the nighttime is. It's just it, things are all over the place. So and yeah, that's like for like another episode for like how to like be able to like kind of work that. But I think that the best way to do that in the future is like going into like routines. So once you
Of
start a
course,
routine and stuff, then the baby starts understanding.
definitely.
Until
The routines is a must. I feel
that.
like But then you don't have one at the start, of
Well,
course.
no,
Like
you
these,
can't.
the yeah, you can't have a routine because you've literally you've just come into this beautiful chaos of creating life, but you have to I feel like in these early days, and by this part one we're talking about now, we're sort of talking about the first week really of being home. And I feel like in that week anyway, for sure, you kind of have to just give in
Yeah.
to the chaos.
For sure. For sure, absolutely. It is chaos. And like I think, give yourself grace. You just had a baby. So like, you just had a baby, you're transitioning, your body's transitioning, you're becoming a mother for the first time or the second, third time around, and your partner's adjusting. So I think like, give yourself a lot of grace because it's I think just kind of going with the flow is probably the best way to go about with it. And eventually it will get better. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. I think once those first weeks are done, it'll get better for sure.
What would that look like? Kind of what time period? Because there's like expecting mums listening in, and they're like, so when would that be? Or there might actually be mums listening where they've just given birth, right? And they're just listening like, but when is this going to be? Because right now I'm drowning,
Well, to be honest, I remember coming out of like the drowning stage when Gami was about a month old. When she was about a month, I could say, okay, I think that she's noticing a little bit of a difference in her sleep. Like, I think that she's sleeping for a little bit longer. It's getting a little bit better. And then, of course, once you hit like the 3 or 4 month mark, I think at that point, like, now you can actually be like, trying to like get some like routines going and like, they're sleeping for even longer periods of time because they don't need to wake up to feed every 2 hours. So, yeah, once they can feed, once basically the feeds are extended, so you don't have to feed as often, that is when you notice that, okay, baby's starting to sleep a little bit more and you have to change like less diapers and things like that. So, that's when I think it happens for me, but I'm pretty sure that it could be a little bit different, for every baby. As far as like feeding and stuff goes, I know that we were talking about like breastfeeding. We have previously spoken about, we did a whole series on like breastfeeding. So if you guys have any questions on breastfeeding and what that was like for us, definitely listen to our last episodes that are on the podcast where Monica shares her story and I share my personal story and how we navigated our breastfeeding journeys, which is like a whole other world of its own. But if you decide to breastfeed, as like you are feeding on demand, so that does take a big part of like an emotional toll on your body and physical. You're exhausted. So
I'm
I
thirsty.
mentioned that. Oh yeah, for
Constantly
sure.
thirsty.
That's one of the things that I had on like my mommy cart, my bottle of water, because the thirst all the time, and obviously you can't have a cocktail, so like, it's gonna be water for like, however long, you decide that you are gonna breastfeed is just, as well. So yeah, that definitely I had to mention that because that's for sure. It plays a big part in what like your postpartum journey is like and what like the first week is like or a couple of weeks.
No, I was just going to say, when it comes to like your feeding journey, I feel like depending on obviously what you choose for your baby, it could affect their how often they sleep and for how long they sleep for, what kind of stretches they have. Most commonly known is that if you do breastfeed, they do wake up more often. Your breast milk is more watery, so they need more of it. And it's, you're more in demand compared to formula, which has, a slightly thicker substance, and they're more likely to settle a little bit better because their tummies feel a little bit fuller. And these are things that, you kind of have to think about as a mum as well, because at the end of the day, you are the mother of the child, and it is your decision what you wish to do when you start your feeding journey with your baby. Like if you do have a bit more complicated circumstances, formula may be the more attractive option because you may need to have a little bit more rest and a little bit more sleep for whatever reason that is. You know, and vice versa as well, you know.
For physical recovery or anything like that, you know.
Exactly,
But I
yeah.
think either way, like both sides, if you decide to formula feed or breastfeed, you're still going to have like you'll definitely have a lot of struggles on either ends. So it's complicated, and I think definitely seek professional help. Speak to the baby's pediatrician, speak to your doctor if you need to, and like also don't forget to take care of you. So obviously, like everyone is so worried about the baby, but what about mom during this time? How is mom coping with the change? Or is everything, how do you feel too? So, I think that, give yourself grace and don't forget about you during this time, because you're the glue. You're holding the house down. You're feeding your baby, possibly from your body, or keeping tabs around the clock with the diaper changes, with the feed,
Yeah.
with the this and that. So, definitely make sure to take care of you during this time, because you have went through a huge shift in your life. So
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that probably takes us to the next kind of the biggest point that really we want to talk about in this episode, which is managing postpartum recovery, which is obviously spoken about a lot for the fourth trimester. And of course, in this part of postpartum recovery, we have two aspects. We have the physical recovery and the emotional recovery, two equally as an important parts of recovering from giving birth to a baby. And well, we're going to give a little bit of space to the physical recovery today, because the emotional recovery, there's so many parts to that conversation. We're actually going to dedicate a little bit more time in our next episode, which is going to be part two of Newborn Trenches. But when we look at postpartum recovery, the physical aspect, what would you say, Elisa, it was the hardest part for you in that space?
I mean, I think that the hardest part was like accepting my body, that it still looked like I was pregnant, right? Like
Yeah.
coming out of like having a baby and also not being able to really have that much time to take care of my body and to think about my body, and obviously I had my mother here, and she was feeding me and like giving me like the nutritious food that I knew that I needed to recover.
Yeah.
Before having a baby, I was so used to like paying such close attention to like my body and to like recovering and to like, and to taking next steps as to like, okay, what else do I need to do that I didn't have. You don't have the space to think about, how am I going to recover? You don't really have that space. So that's why that I think that for me was the hardest part. And, thankfully I had my mother's support here, where, I knew that she was feeding me like good food, and, at least for like that first like week or two, like I had that nutrition here that I know I so desperately needed.
Yeah.
So how about you, Monica? What was the physical recovery like for you, and what did you feel like when you first came home from the hospital
I
after?
mean, I think, like, similar to you, and I'm assuming a lot of mothers out there is, accepting the body that you are in now, because, you've got this these huge emotions going through you, this new love that you found in front of you, in your arms. But alongside that big love, you've also got the, your critical self looking at you in the mirror, like, oh, I look like this now. What am I doing for this? And like you say, you really just, you don't have any time, any mental capacity to think about how can I do something about this, like that. You don't have that. You don't have that, and you probably don't have that for a while. I'll be completely honest. Maybe if you are, in a situation where you've had your second, third child, obviously you've done it before, so you know kind of like what to do. But first time round, obviously you're putting absolutely every ounce into your new baby, and you don't have any anything left in the cup for yourself.
No.
So I think that's a massive thing linked with the physical side of things. But I do think that that hand in hand goes into the emotional side of things as well.
Yep. Right
I
into it.
think, yeah, exactly. And I think from a physical point of view, of course, you go through labor and there's obviously an element of pain that's attached to that. And for the recovery, I would say the recovery wasn't that bad for me. I had to have some stitches. I had to have an episiotomy when I gave birth, which is like a little incision either side to get Noah out. And I had to have things like I have a catheter put in and things like that. But on the whole, my recovery wasn't that bad. The clots that came after did scare me. There was, like you have to pass quite large clots after birth, and they say, it's nothing to be worried about. You have to just, let nature take its course. But it at the same time, it's scary because you've never experienced that from your body. This is not a period we're talking about. This is heavy clotting, you
Oh yeah,
know?
heavy periods, yes. Oh, if I could
Right.
a piece of
Yeah.
advice for that, actually, I think we might have talking about this. We might have spoken about this in like previous episodes, but because of that, I was wearing the panties. I was
Me
wearing like
too. Yeah.
because it was so heavy, and that's one thing
Yeah.
you don't want to have to worry about. The adult
Yeah.
panties, they're great.
Yeah. Oh, they're amazing. I mean, I
Exactly.
lived in those for a few weeks.
Me
And
too.
they were great because, you could have maybe a stretch of 2 hours without, having to worry about that. But that was pretty scary, the clotting.
Was a
But
lot.
obviously, the first time you do anything, you don't know what's going to happen, right? So anything that's going to happen is going to have an element of anxiety attached to it. And I think everyone again has a different story to tell with their labor. Some people will give birth in a matter of hours and will be feeling great the night of.
Yeah.
But and some people take a lot longer. I think for me, I didn't have the worst birth story. And I definitely feel like I healed and recovered physically in the appropriate time. But I think the biggest thing was allowing yourself the time to heal.
Yeah.
Because I think in this fast society that we live in, it's always like, oh, but you should be like, get
What's
that
next?
snap back body
What's next?
by 3 months old,
Yeah.
when the baby's 3 months old, or you should be doing this and you should be doing this. And everything was meant to be done like yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's such a rush around everything now. And I think maybe the one thing I would say for like new mums is just give yourself time and allow yourself, if you can, to just try not to be so hard on yourself. We know everything looks out of place. We know you still look pregnant after you give birth. You're in a lot of pain. You're very uncomfortable. You're stressed. You're anxious. But it is going to pass. And, the best thing I think for any woman to hear, especially a new mum, is that you just have to give yourself a little bit of time
Yeah.
and just know that you are amazing just as you are.
Oh, Meg, we're superheroes.
Yeah.
We are women. We are superheroes that we're able to birth babies from our own bodies. That's like an incredible thing. And the one thing is that also this newborn time is so precious. Like right before we recorded this podcast, I was actually looking through Kami's newborn pictures because I wanted to like feel those feelings again. And like those newborn times are, it's so good. So please soak it in. Smell your baby often.
Yeah,
Smell your baby often. Take advantage of those like skin to skin moments. And I know that society is telling you to like rush, how Monica's saying, like rush into like your body, rush into this. Oh, it's time to like plan activities with the baby. Oh, baby's learning. Slow down, slow down, and really take advantage of like these early days because the first year is going to zoom by. So really just like settle in and like just like take advantage of this time where the baby is like snuggling with you, a lot of hugs. And we know that skin to skin is hard because like You also want your time back, but soon you're not going to have that much skin to skin time with the baby anymore. So take advantage of these these really precious days and hold on to them really tight.
Yeah, definitely. Time goes too fast.
Okay, everybody. So, thank you so much for joining today's podcast. I think that this was such a good one.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like these first days are so sweet, yet so hard that it's really important to talk about them. So,
Yeah.
I'm really happy that we were able to talk about this topic today. And the one thing that I wanted to mention is that thank you for everyone that has left a review lately on our podcast. So, for anyone that would like to leave a review, you can go in and leave a review on our Apple Podcasts or on our Spotify. And also make sure that you subscribe so then you receive a notification for every time that we drop a new episode every other week.
Yeah, and please stay tuned for the next episode. Like we said, this is going to be part of like a three episoder. The next episode we're going to be going re like really holding a lot of space for the emotional side of things. You know, we all talk about the baby blues, postpartum depression. This is such a huge topic that we're going to dedicate just one episode on this. So please, if you want to tune in, if you've got any questions or just want to hear our side of things, that is going to be on next episode.
For sure. Feel free to reach out to us with any questions, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So tune in next time, guys. So we're so happy to have you guys joining us every other week. So stay tuned.
All
Bye.
right. See you next time. Bye.